Okay, we'll start. A young man named John received a parrot for his housewarming gift. And some of you guys know this story. And this, to his much amazement, this parrot had a nasty, nasty mouth, like a truck driver. I hope nobody is a truck driver in this crowd. Anyway, or the sailor, whichever it is. This parrot started to speak when he speaks. Every other word is sprinkled with a vulgar and a profanity. And John tried to change the parrot's mind, so he started to speak in polite words, please and would you, all of that stuff, and even turned the soft music on. It didn't matter. It goes on and spitting out these bad words. So John threw hands up and he said, okay, that's it. I'm start to yell at this bird, and bird become rude and more wilder. So he didn't know what to do, so he grabbed the bird, opened up the freezer, and stick it in the freezer. And they were screaming and squeaking and kicking the door, and a little bit later, quiet. And he thought, uh-oh, did I kill that bird? Then what am I going to tell my friend about that bird? So he opened the freezer a little bit, and then the bird came out into his hand, and he says, I'll just read it to you. I believe I may offend you with my rude language and action. I sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgression, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior. But what happened to this bird? So he was about to ask, but before he asked, this bird asked, may I ask what the turkey in the freezer did? Inquiring mind want to know. Like that obnoxious parrot, sometimes we don't appreciate what we have until something drastic happens to us. In the same note, we do not thank God for what we have. And we so often demand more. And somehow we think that God is our caretaker. He is supposed to be there to take care of us. One thing we forget is we are created for His pleasure. Let's not forget that. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word we are about to receive. We thank You and we glorify You. We praise Your name. We are made for Your glory. We are to bring honor and pleasure to Your name. We often forget. As a matter of fact, we do very often. Forgive us. Make us be more like Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our God. That we may please Your name and glorify Your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to ask you to do something in your prayer time every day. I'm going to ask you to pray for our soldiers. Especially, this is a difficult time during the holiday season. They cannot come home. They are away from their family. And don't think that they are out there to get, you know, doing the Bush's war. It's not George Bush's war. It's our war. What would you do if you know that you have a cancer and it can be operable, but yet you are not willing to cut it out because it might hurt my flesh? No, you have to cut it out. Saddam Hussein was dead, cancer had to be eliminated. Here are a few reminders that I got from the other pastors, and I thought that this is a good thing to remind ourselves how blessed we are as Americans to compare with other countries. If you own one Bible, you are abundantly blessed. One-third of the world does not even own one. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the millions who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, imprisonment, and pain and agony of torture and the pang of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people around the world. If you attend a church meeting without a fear of harassment, arrest of torture, and death, and you are more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator and clothes on your back and roof over your head and place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have been if you have even a little amount of money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere, you are among the top 8% of the world wealthy. If your parents are still married and alive, you are very rare even in the United States. And if you can hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because the majority can and the majority will not. If you can hold someone's hand, hug them, and even touch on their shoulder, you are blessed because you can offer God's healing touch. If you pray yesterday and today, you are in minority because you believe in God's willingness to hear and answer your prayer. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, you are part of a very small minority in the world and in human history. Gratitude to God is godly, a God-honoring attitude. We don't appreciate God's action toward us. Let's think about this. I felt this for a long time, and one particular temptation for the Christian to have often is we don't appreciate what we have. And we think about, I should have something else. I should have more of the other kinds. Especially in America, we like to be blessed for more than ever before, and we think that we are so accustomed to the blessing we've been receiving from God that we don't think we need them. The other people, other country people, other brothers and sisters in the world would love to have what we don't want. There was one mission, great preacher from China came to the United States. And he was asked, what would you like to have from America? And he said, I'd like to have all the garbage you guys produce. If I take them all into China, I'll be the wealthiest man. Because we throw away so many things that it's not even broken. I'm the guilty of that. If I want to clean the garage, what do? Just toss it in the garbage can. I just don't want it, so I toss them. Let's make an example. Let's say if we can only see the stars at night once a year, any other time, there won't be a star, there won't be a moon, there won't be anything. Let's say the weatherman, even though they're wrong most of the time, there's not a whole lot of job you can give. You're wrong most of the time, you still have a job. That's the weatherman's job. Anyway, the weatherman said, tomorrow we're going to have a star that comes once a year. And would you stay up all night to watch that star? Yes, we will. Now, but however, we don't look at the star that with a great amazement. Why? Because so we are so accustomed to that blessing of God. God flung those stars into the air, and He made it happen, and He knows all those stuff by name. But we are so accustomed to that, we don't think about it a whole lot. We don't say ooh and ah to those stars. My Bible is open on Numbers 11, chapter 4. Numbers 11, chapter 11, verse 4. Numbers 11 is the fourth book in the Old Testament. Numbers 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to the intense craving. This is the Israeli people who left Egypt heading to the promised land. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us a meat to eat? Remember, underline next one, please. We remember the fish which we ate freely in the Egypt, and the cucumber and melon and the leeks and onions and garlic. If you eat all of that, you're going to have a bad breath. But now, our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all. Underline next word, please. Except this manna before our eyes. See, when the Israeli people left Egypt, they were guided by the pillar of the cloud during the daytime, pillar of the fire during the night. There was a gigantic night light, as people can see. And they were blessed by God's provision. For 40 years, then their clothes never worn out, their shoes never worn out. And they never skipped one day without food. Somebody who didn't have anything better to do measured the amount of food they consumed and the water amount of water they consumed in a day. Can you imagine one person drink 1 gallon and 2 gallons for the normal thing, taking a shower or bath, whatever. So 3 gallons per person, and there were 2 million people. 6 million gallons of water. Can you imagine how many gallons, how many the cart, train cart you have to use? Can I even fathom that kind of amount? However, God provided that every day for 40 years. And he's been providing this thing called manna. By the way, do you know the meaning of manna? Nobody knew what the meaning of the name of that thing. So they asked, what is it? I don't know. What is it? We call it, what is it? That's the manna, meaning of manna. What is it? It's heavenly food. It came down to the ground every morning. They gather up and do different kinds of food. So Mrs. Moses came up with a 101 way to cook the manna. Manna bagel, manna cotti, you name it. They came up with all these things and they got tired of it. I can understand. I had a sandwich for 2 weeks in Bulgaria. I got tired of it, and so I don't want a sandwich for a while. And so they said, accept this manna. When you read that portion, you can tell their resentment against God's provision. One of the evidence that we are grown accustomed to blessing is a spirit of criticism, spirit of complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we start to resent for God's provision. And we stuck our nose up and then say we don't want that thing anymore. Let me put it this way. The person who got so accustomed to God's blessing, and never, that person will never be satisfied with God's blessing, another blessing, because it's pretty soon that person will turn away from that thing again and again. Another evidence of this problem is the idea that these people left. They were remembering the food they had in Egypt, like a melon and the garlic and then leek and onions. I don't think I want to hang around with those people because it's such a bad breath. And these people were wanting that kind of food. They want to go back. I do believe the majority of people in this room are born-again Christian. Let me put this in the spiritual realm, not just food. It's like we wanting that old time. We call it good old time. What we had during this... Well, we were not born again Christian. Okay, when I was not born again Christian, I used to drink. I used to cuss. I used to do bad things. When I was in college, I used to get drunk just to get drunk. And holding the ball and then puke my guts out. And that was a good time, right? You remember that? Having a hangover. Don't look at me like you don't know anything about the meaning of hangover. You do know. Was that good old time? If you use a drug, you got high, and you had to run away from the law, and doing, dude, that's good. Was it really good? What did you sacrifice? You sacrifice all that garbage? That's not sacrifice. That's a cleansing. God is giving us a new life. However, we rather go back to that old life. We call it good old time. It's not a good old time. These people had that food, but that food came with a slavery, bondage. Yes, we may have a good old time, but they came with the eternal death, damnation. What was good or bad? Nothing. So there is this good food came with a price, slavery. Let's go to the Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews way in the back in the New Testament, right before the James. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, underline covetousness, please. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What can man do to me? We cannot give thanks to the Lord if we are not content. As long as we are discontent for the things that we have, we cannot give him thanks. Because we cannot accept the fact that this is the current situation is that God allowed us to have. You might be in the place where you have everything you need. You might be rolling on the dough. And you might be doing well. And however, same time you might be, I don't know your situation. You might be going through a difficult time. Don't think that God does not know your situation. God knows your situation. God knows my situation. God allowed that situation to happen to you to make you to be strong, more like Jesus. It's a training period. Covetousness is the opposite of contentment. And other covetousness and greed are excused even when admired in today's culture is called ambition. Is it wrong to wanting that you want to provide something better for your family? Absolutely not. You should. However, there's a difference in wanting providing better things for your family and wanting that somebody else's. Remember the Ten Commandment? Covetousness is one of the commandment he said, thou shalt not. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, now the godliness with the contentment is a great gain. Let's engrave that thought into our heart. Godliness with the contentment is a great gain. When the things go against us, it's hard to give a glory to God. It's hard to give a praise to God. Because why should I give a praise to God when I'm going through this difficult time? Why doesn't God do something about it? He will do something about it. As a matter of fact, he's doing something about it. He's allowing us to go through that difficult time so we can come out better. That's what I call baptism through the fire. It's difficult. How do I know? Because I went through and I will go through. Christian life is a never-ending training period. Until we get to heaven, that training never stops. Contentment cannot come from the material things because if material things never satisfy. That, if that's the case, people in Hollywood would be most content people. Elvis Presley said this. He will give $1 million at the time. It's a lot of money at the time when he was alive. He will give $1 million for 1 hour's peace. He didn't have peace in his heart with all the money he had. Let's go to chapter 12 of Book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Only God can fulfill our contentment. Let's read. And he, Jesus, said to them, take heed, be aware of the covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You heard this before, probably. If you have God, you have everything you need. He's the one who provides. He said he will provide all our need according to his riches and glory. We are not thankful enough. That's the problem. Let's go to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I'll give you about 20 minutes to find the Nahum. Nahum is located between Micah and Habakkuk. And you might say, where is Micah? Next to Nahum. Nahum 1:7, please. It reads, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him." Throughout the Bible, the most common command in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what is it? Huh? I cannot hear you. Trust? No, that's not the one. The most common command God told us to love. No, what is it?
Obey?
No. The most common command He made, fear not. Fear not. Because He knows we are frightened people. I'm a drugstore cowboy. Okay, can you tell with the cowboy boots? I just look good in that thing, that's all. The real cowboy is over there. He rides. I just pretend to ride. See, horse is as big as the horse is a very frightened animal. When he see it on shadow, he starts to jump. And I noticed one thing, when I try to approach his horse, because I want to pet, you know, I like horse. I want to touch the horse's nose, and they jump. And it's like I didn't jump on them. In a way, we are like that. We worry about the things that may not even happen. Listen to me, please. We have a fear. Fear, every fear has something to do, connect with the future things that will happen. Do you understand me? Fear, something connect with the future things might happen. What if? What if? What if? But God assures us with the word, again, go back to the one, two words, but God. When we say, what if, He said, but God. And He, the most common command He is giving to us is, fear not. As I said before, put this in your heart, please. Most of the time, the one we fear about most doesn't even happen. You might say, what if I die? Well, let me tell you this. You will die. If the Lord tarries, you will die. I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you that much. So far, I haven't seen anyone who didn't die, except two people in the Bible, Elijah and Enoch. Real contentment only comes from trusting God to meet who meet our needs and take care of our security. It is amazing that we often likely to put our trust, our security, on the one, the things, or the people who is far less than God. If you put your trust in your money market fund or CD or whatever you want to call it, soon as the Black Monday come and the stock market, that will go down the drain so fast. If you trust your security and your future with somebody, you will go down too. However, if you put your heart, your trust, your faith in God, you will not move. Because you're building your foundation on the solid rock, that is Jesus Christ. It's not easy to trust Him when the things go wrong. I remember the time when I changed my job from self-employed to the employment position in U.S. West Direct at the time. Is designing Yellow Page ad. I was a graphic designer. We were deeply in debt, and on top of all, IRS was on top of my head. With a back tax, $9,000. Don't ever have IRS on your back. It's not a good recommendation. I didn't want Christmas. I didn't want Thanksgiving because I didn't have money to buy anything for my family. It was, in my opinion, I was young Christian. I was miserable. And when other people talk about the good things, I couldn't provide. As a head of family, that was difficult to face. However, God provided everything I need, not what I want, faithfully. We never skipped a meal. So I learned to trust Him. As long as we keep our eyes on God, not on the things, not on the people, He will provide. He will be faithful. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Some of you guys know this by heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4:11 in the Philippians, New Testament. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Let's go to one more verse. Psalm 107:8. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, you're going to wonder why you go through so many verses. Well, that's how we learn the Word of God. 107:8. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. In the Old Testament, there is a king named Jehoshaphat. He took the very uncommon approach when he was facing the enemy of the nation. They were surrounded the whole country, and they were armed to teeth, and they said, okay, guys, I have a great idea from the Lord. This is a new battle tactic. So the guys gathered up, and, all right, let's hear from you, king. He said, you guys ready? He said, oh, yeah. You know, those enemies, they're surrounding us. Oh, yeah. They're armed to teeth. Yeah, oh, you tell me about it. We're going to send out the musicians and the choirs before us. And the musicians are standing inside. Maybe he doesn't like us. Hey, Mark, how would you like to go out to the battlefield first? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 says, he said, go out and praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. They were, in spite of all the odds against them, they went out and praising God. And they're giving thanks to God. What am I trying to say? We don't thank God enough for what we have. We are not content. And we're always wanting for something more because somebody else has it. As I said before, wanting for something better for your family is nothing wrong, but when we start to covet, that's a different story. Covetousness is a sin. Contentment with the godliness is great gain. In approaching God, let's never forget to say thank you. How many times do you pray to God to ask for something? How many times? Several times a day? I hope so. I hope at least 3 times or 4 times a day, each meal. Sometimes when I have a meal with some of a Christian friend, they start to eat, and I sit there and look at them and say, oh, yeah, would you say grace? So I say, grace. Pray for your meal. If there's anything is wrong with your meal, He will take care of it. Before you go to sleep, at least before you go to sleep, thank God for you still had that one day. Before the start of the day, ask for His direction. And I hope you do have a devotion, since you all received the Our Daily Bread booklet. Throughout the day, thank God. At the same time, make your supplication known to Him with the thanksgiving in your heart. When you do that, when you ask Him, okay, after you ask Him, not when you ask, after your prayer request has been made, and let's say God grant your prayer, do you go back and thank Him for that? How often do we ask Him what we want, but how often do we thank Him for what He's done for us? Can you put it on a scale? Right? If you're like me, like this, we don't thank Him enough for all the things He's done. I found the two applications from the Hebrews chapter 13 again. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 is the first application. I usually put out the application overhead, but since it's right in front of your eyes, I didn't do it. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Don't just say, oh, praise God, without meaning. Mean it sincerely. Giving thanks to Him. If we are willing to say to other people thanks or thank you, should we say all the more to our God who give breath to our lung, another heartbeat in our heart? Second application, verse 16. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. This is one of the reasons why we work with other country mission field. You guys, whatever you contribute to the church goes out to Bulgaria. And also it goes out to Mexico. And we help our own people in our church. This is a difficult time, as I said before. If you have a lot, if you have enough, maybe you don't have a problem. But there are people in our fellowship who does not have a whole lot. Look for those people. Share the blessing you receive from God. If you are not content, if you don't share, who knows? God might put you in those people's shoes to train you. Let's stand up and pray.